Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require it at the watchman's hand. So you, Son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn away, to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, Son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, Son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. For the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, give back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by this. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. Here we come to a portion which has been foreshadowed in the opening of Ezekiel, at the call of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel is told, Ezekiel, you are the Lord's watchman for the house of Israel. Here we come to a fuller understanding of what the Lord meant there for Ezekiel to be the Lord's watchman. Now, when we consider the image of the watchman, we really have four parts to the puzzle, or four parts that need to be understood. There is the one who appoints or who calls the watchman. There is the watchman himself. There is the danger that arises that calls for the watchman to do his duty. And there is those who would hear the word of the watchman. First of all, we have it laid out plainly that the Lord is the one who appoints a watchman for the house of Israel. Now, a watchman was a common sight in ancient Israel. It's fully understood yet today in dangers that nations endure even to this moment and will endure likely to the end of time. There are people whose job it is, and it would seem to be an utter waste in some people's eyes, that they simply scour for that which could or might be. Well, here a watchman is appointed in the ancient world to be someone who would constantly scan, who would constantly be on the alert day and night for danger that would come upon a community, a city, a people. Here, God is the one who appoints the watchman. Many people, they would gather together and they would take some of their own to be a watchman upon the walls. And their diligence meant life or death. Here, God says, Ezekiel, you, I am appointing to be the watchman over the house of Israel. You are to be the one who sounds the trumpet, who blows the alarm. Secondly, we have the watchman himself. Now, we have in the past number of weeks been considering the account of Ezekiel and how that he faithfully stood before the people to sound out a message that was not politically correct, that was not welcomed by the people, and that was not heard at so many times. But yet Ezekiel was faithful. A key ingredient for a watchman was diligence, to be on the alert, and that that person be faithful to their task. That they not say, I'm taking the day off. I've had a rough week. It's time for me to let loose and to cut loose and to do something else. But faithfulness, vigilance, was something that was absolutely necessary. So Ezekiel, he is shown to be one who the Lord had made his forehead like flint. He was someone who is hardened for his task, yet when we read that brief account of his interaction with his wife, we see that there was a beautiful relationship there, that there was not a hard heart within this man, though he had been given a forehead of flint to deal with the people he had to deal with. So we have God as the one who appoints the watchman. We have the watchman himself. Here in this account, it is Ezekiel who takes up the task that he has been appointed, and he carries it out faithfully. Now, in the ancient world, as is today, there is, of course, the danger that comes upon the people. Now, in some spheres, it is not an enemy army that comes to attack from without. We have, of course, medical professionals whose job it is to watch and to guard against those unseen threats to the public health, germ warfare, and those things which would prohibit those things from coming against us. And so there are watchmen in various avenues and in various spheres. Well, here, of course, in the ancient world, they knew nothing of those things, but here we have a danger that is posed against the people. And there is the danger of an outward attack. There is ever a danger of our souls. John Bunyan is well known, of course, for the Pilgrim's Progress, but he also wrote the book Holy War. You would do yourself a favor to read The Holy War. It is about the city of Mansoul. And Mansoul has various gates. There is the eye gate and there is the ear gate, as well as others, through which an attack is mounted. Well, of course, it's an allegory about how that our soul can be attacked, and how that sometimes there can be the attack through the ear gate, or sometimes through the eye gate, or through other means. There needs to be a vigilance. There is ever a danger for what would come against us, and the Lord is ever aware of that. Now, fourth and finally, there is those within the city walls. Those people who are not posted on the wall, those people who may or may not have anything whatsoever to do with appointing the watchman or have any acquaintance with him. And these people, they are not the threat, but they are the threatened. We have those going about their daily task, rather oblivious, perhaps for some months or years or decades or even centuries, maybe never in their lifetime have they ever heard of an attack against their village or city or town, community, whatever it might be in size. And they might wonder, why do we collectively pay for this fellow to be sitting there on the wall, scanning the horizon? Why don't we take him down and put him to some real work? Why don't we have his help in some other ways? Those within the wall, those who are the potential threatened, they also are a key part of what takes place here. And God comes and he says, if I bring, now pay attention to that. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of Man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land, there are times when God himself brings the sword upon a people, upon his own people, that they might once again take warning, that they might be disciplined, that they might be cleansed, that they might sit up and pay attention to the danger that is ever there. If I bring a sword upon the land, if the one who hears the warning ignores it, now that's a possibility. There's two things to be done. There could be an utter, oh, that guy, he's just playing us for the fools. He's chiding us. He's tricking us. He's crying wolf. If those people, if they ignore the one who cries out, danger is coming, they will be taken away. But if they listen, if they listen to what the warning was, then they will have opportunity to save their lives. They will have heard the warning, and they will either have opportunity to flee, or they will have opportunity to take up arms and to rightly and properly defend themselves, to bolt the gate and to mount themselves upon the wall that they might not be overrun. But there is another way which a watchman can act. A watchman can be up there on the wall, scanning the horizon day after day, and start to fritter with other things, to fritter with lesser things. Maybe he gets a video game. Maybe he takes up some other hobby. He says, you know, I've got so much time up here just to sit and to scan that same old horizon. And he starts to fritter with other things. Maybe he sees the danger that comes. Maybe he sees what is coming, but maybe he doesn't, and the warning is not sounded. The alarm is not rung. On Thursday, I was in the United States, and I was caught once again at the noon hour. Do you know what happens in, I think, pretty much every community in the United States at noon every day? What happens? Air raid signal, just for a moment, just to make sure that they're going. The horns sounding out to make sure that the system is still working as it ought to, just for a moment, and then it trailed off. The sound of the warning rang out, and there was no warning. But the alert system was well in place. Well, here, God says to Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, you are set, and you need to warn the people, because you need to warn them that they would save their lives, and they need to have this word. Because if you become careless, I will require that person's blood at your hand." Verse 8. "If I say to the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked so that they turn from their way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." Now, in verse 10 and following, down to 20, we hear once again, as we have earlier in Ezekiel, we hear the talk on the street of those who said, "Well, you know, the Lord, he's a little bit off base. He's a little bit off kilter, a little bit off balance. There's some things that just do not add up." You see, God does not take delight in the death of the wicked. God wants that the wicked would turn and that they would live. In verse 11, Ezekiel is to say to them, "As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn, that they repent from their evil ways, and that they live." And the appeal is, turn back from your evil ways. "For why will you die, O house of Israel?" Now remember once again that Ezekiel was here speaking to people who were already taken from their homes in Judah and in Jerusalem, and they had been parked by the river Kebar there in Babylon, along with Ezekiel himself. And here it was that they were thinking, "We are done. Our last page of history is written. It is over for us." But God comes to them and he says, "It's not over. Why will you die? Why do you think the last page has been written? Why do you think that you are to rot away because of your sins? I want you to turn. I want you to come back to me. I want you to live." Now, God isn't just speaking to righteous people here. He's speaking to the wicked. He's speaking to those who had previously no concern for him. And he says, "I'll give you some examples. If a righteous man does that which is evil, his righteousness will no longer be remembered." You see, there needs to be a constant walking with God. There needs to be a constant dwelling in his presence, a constant flow of communion, one with our Maker. So God says through Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, tell the people that it's a moment by moment dwelling, intimate relationship that I desire with my people. That those who walk in righteousness and then they fall away and they walk in wickedness, if they think that their bank account of righteousness is such that it will cover over their wickedness, they are fools." But also God says, those who are wicked, Those who say we are left to rot away in our wickedness and it's all over for us. God says, a wicked man who turns, who repents, who says, Lord, change my heart, make in me a clean heart. God says, that one who turns from their wicked ways and who seeks the ways of life, who takes my hand and walks hand in hand with me, though the world would say, well, that person has such a heavy debt of wickedness and evil, surely all of that would overwhelm any good that they might do. God says, I want you to know that this is the way of God. He shall live by this. God's plea, God's earnest entreaty, his earnest begging is that we would come and that we would know life in him. Now let me update this just a bit. Ezekiel was Israel's watchman there by the river Kibar in Babylon 600 years before Christ. Not quite 600 years before Christ, but close. The Church of Jesus Christ is God's watchman in our world today. And we have been given the task of sounding out his truth. And time again, we come to the point of people saying, we do not want to hear what you have to say. Last year, when the Y books were distributed, I had some interaction from the community round about us. Some just bordering on the rude, and some was outright revolting. But you see, we do not do what we do for the praise of people. We do what we do because God has called us to be his witnesses. We are not responsible for the outcome. When the church has, from time to time, thought itself to be responsible for the outcome, there is a horrible danger of trying to manipulate the message so that it is more palatable for the audience. It is not ours to change or to mold the image that it would be, or the message that it would be more palatable, that it would be more pleasing, that it would be more amenable to those who would hear it. Our word, as in Ezekiel's time and as with Ezekiel's task, is to sound out the trumpet warning, to tell people that there is a God who has created them, a God who has so loved them that he has put up with them time and time again, a God who has given his own son that there might be redemption and forgiveness and cleansing, a God who has given his word that we might be blessed by it and strengthened by it, rebuked and challenged by it, that we might be fed by it, that we might learn by it, that we might know how to guide our very steps in all things, that we might know that Christ is coming once again and that he comes not as the Lamb, but as the judge, and that everyone, the old song, judgment is coming, all will be there, each one receiving rightly his due. And it is, wash your garments in the blood of the Lamb. And God's promise is, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there. That is the word that we sound out to people. And we are not responsible for how they respond. Now, of course, we would be foolish and we would be poor stewards if we spoke to the people of Winnipeg in Bosnian or Serbian when they knew nothing of the language. Of course, We use language and we use as much wisdom as God gives to us in communicating the message as clearly and as pointedly. But we lay it before people and we pray. And as the Apostle Paul implored people that they would come to Christ, so we do likewise. But we leave it in God's hands. You see, we have been called as watchmen, not for Jerusalem so much, but for Winnipeg. We who have been appointed to live here and to carry out our lives here, we are appointed as workers under God's hand to be watchmen and to sound out the message. This we do, as we meet each and every Sunday, as we involve ourselves in evangelistic campaigns such as the Why book, as we also partner with other missions and ministries to send forth the word. And we have this on our heart, God's plea, and it becomes our own. Turn back to those who think that God has nothing to say to them and they would live rebellious lives. We again plead with them, turn back. Why would you die when Christ has gone to the cross for you, when the Father has given his only Son, and when the Spirit has come to convict of sin and to lead us in righteousness? Why would you die when so much has been done that your soul might live? Lord, we come to your word and we realize that just as Ezekiel was given a task, there is a task also for us. That as we live here in Winnipeg and in the surrounding communities, that we would also be your witnesses, your watchmen. Lord, it is a heavy task. It is not something that we have necessarily asked for, but it is something laid upon us. Lord, may we be faithful. May we be diligent. May we be vigilant. May we be ever on our guard for our own hearts, for those who are closest to us, but Lord, also interceding and pleading with those all round about us, that they would hear the word of God, that they would hear the warning, and that they would live. So work among us. Lord, as we come to the communion table this morning, we realize and we remember the incredible penalty and price of sin. But we remember also the love that you showed that we might live, and we rejoice in you. We give thanks. Lord, may we not live carefree, careless lives, but in light of the cross, in light of the cross, may we so live. And at your coming, may we be found faithful. And may we hear the words, well, well done, well done. So let it be of us, O Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.